From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, November 20th. Coming up, as the fall semester comes to a close on the University of Illinois Urbana campus, we'll find out what lessons officials have learned reopening the campus during a pandemic. A conversation with epidemiologist Becky Smith in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker has called on longtime Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan to resign if he won't appear in public and answer questions about a bribery scheme. Hannah Meisel has more.
Pritzker called the allegations outlined in the indictments a quid pro quo and unspeakably wrong. He also chastised Madigan for dodging the press and appearances in front of an investigative committee looking into Madigan's role in the federal probe.
He has to, at the very least, be willing to stand in front of the press and the people and answer every last question to their satisfaction. If the speaker cannot commit to that level of transparency, then the time has come for him to resign as speaker.
Prosecutors allege a Madigan confidant and other Commonwealth Edison lobbyists and officials helped orchestrate a years-long bribery scheme involving jobs and contracts for Madigan allies. ComEd allegedly falsified their books to keep the money flowing for those allies, including for those who did little to no work for the utility. Madigan has denied any wrongdoing or knowledge of the scheme. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Illinois state health officials are continuing to urge residents to stay home for the holidays and avoid large indoor gatherings of any kind. They announced more than 14,000 additional COVID-19 cases yesterday, along with 168 more deaths. Currently across the state, there are more than 6,000 COVID-19 patients in Illinois hospitals. The 7-day statewide positivity rate is 12%. Meanwhile, Champaign County health officials announced 140 new cases yesterday. There are more than 1,200 active cases in the county and 16 people hospitalized. The county's 7-day average positivity rate, excluding University of Illinois tests, is 9.6%. Meanwhile, in Macon County, health officials reported 8 additional deaths from COVID-19 yesterday, bringing the county's death toll over 100. They reported 98 new cases of COVID-19 and nearly 1,800 active cases. 43 people are hospitalized with the disease. The U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights is investigating a complaint alleging that Jewish and pro-Israel students on the University of Illinois' Urbana campus have faced a hostile environment of anti-Semitism and that the university's response was inadequate. Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines reports.
Ian Katznelson is a junior at the U of I. He says he ran for student body president last year, and during the campaign, Katznelson says he was called a Nazi because he was Jewish and supported Israel.
My ancestors have been killed by Nazis, and here I am on this college campus, and I'm being called a Nazi myself just for being Jewish. And so I really wish at that moment that the university had my back.
The federal complaint filed on behalf of Katznelson and other Jewish students at the U of I alleges that they faced both anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist harassment on campus. Aliza Lewin is with the Brandeis Center, one of the organizations behind the complaint. She says Jewish students who support Israel are marginalized on the U of I campus.
The problem that's happening on the campus now is that if Jewish students support Israel and express this part of their identity, then they're branded as racist.
Lewin argues that's discrimination on the basis of national origin. Bruce Rosenstock, a religion professor, disagrees. Rosenstock, who is Jewish himself, worries the federal investigation will have a chilling effect on free speech.
I do fear that the university will be forced to define Zionism not as a political ideology, but rather as the very essence of Judaism and of the Jewish people's identity as Jews.
A spokesperson for the U of I wrote in an emailed statement that the campus is committed to supporting a safe and welcoming environment for all students and would work on establishing actionable steps to support Jewish students, faculty, and staff. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman talks with U of I epidemiologist Becky Smith to find out what lessons officials have learned reopening the campus during a pandemic. That's next on 217 Today.
Hey, this is Eunice Alpasan, engagement producer for the 21st. You can help shape our news coverage. Here's how it works. Just text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We'll send you weekly questions on issues affecting Illinois. We might even mention your answers on the 21st. Text TALK to 217-803-0730 and join the conversation.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The University of Illinois' Urbana campus initially predicted that its mass testing program and other mitigation efforts would keep the total number of COVID-19 cases on campus to under 500 this semester. But the actual number of cases rose much higher, to more than 3,800, with the vast majority occurring among the 35,000 students living in Champaign-Urbana. To understand what lessons have been learned throughout the process of reopening campus during the pandemic, Illinois Newsroom's health reporter Christine Herman spoke with U of I epidemiologist Becky Smith. That's U of I epidemiologist Becky Smith speaking with Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman.
College-age students are most likely to have asymptomatic or what we call posse symptomatic cases, which means they have very minor symptoms, if any. So we know that the majority of our cases, if we had only tested the symptomatic, we would not have found them. Now that means that we found a lot more cases than most people did. So it looks like we have a lot more infection going on because we found so many cases. That said, we found more cases than we wanted to, in part because there were more cases than we would have liked. And we've learned a lot in the process.
So let's pick that apart. What have been the biggest lessons and what are the things that maybe you would have done differently with hindsight that you have now that might change the way things go moving forward into 2021?
So I think the biggest lesson is that technology cannot save us from a pandemic. We have to have culture working with the technology. Being that University of Illinois is a very tech-heavy campus, we went all in on the technology and then we're picking up the culture pieces as we go. And really, it would be better to work them together. And moving forward, that's what we're doing, that we're working in concert with the social scientists and with the communication experts to try to build everything together.
So when you say that's technology, you're referring to the testing piece, but also the use of the app for exposure notifications. And the culture piece, can you tell me what you mean by that?
So the culture is the people following the guidelines. It's compliance we talk about. I don't like the word compliance because it sounds like we're putting down rules and everybody needs to comply, which really what we want to do is give guidelines that help people keep themselves safe. We want to empower people, give them what they need to keep themselves safe. Unfortunately, there's a culture in some groups on our campus, and not just students, but some groups on our campus have the belief that this is not a risk for them. And so they are choosing not to follow our recommendations or guidelines because they don't see the point. Some of the countries that have done the best at controlling this virus have been countries in which, rather than the individualistic mindset that Americans have, they are countries in which care for the community takes priority.
So how do you bake that into a strategy for COVID mitigation?
This is a major question that we are thinking about. And I mean, you've possibly heard the quote from Dr. Fauci. He said, "I don't know how to tell you that you have to care for other people." So this is something that everybody at all levels of pandemic control know, that in order to control the pandemic, we have to care for other people. And we have to make those choices. And I don't know how to make that happen. But then again, I'm on the hard science side. I'm not a social scientist. So that's why we're bringing in the social scientists and the communications experts to understand, before we can actually change people's minds and attitudes about how to keep everybody safe, we have to understand why they're making the choices that they are. So we've got a team that's actually working on talking to students, doing surveys, doing interviews and focus groups, just to try to understand why do people make the choices that they do.
And finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says not nearly as windy today, but continued warm with partly cloudy skies and a high of 65 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Lee Gaines, and Christine Herman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulvane. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.